When I first got into recovery, I heard all kinds of things about crosstalk. For example, we don't comfort people or give them tissues when they're crying during a meeting, which seemed fucking cruel to me. We don't give advice, which seemed really weird to me because I was so used to helping others, even when they didn't ask for it, or when I had no particular expertise on the matter, like relationships, for example. I have since learned that we don't comfort people because we allow them to feel and express and process their own feelings, and it's not my job to manage other people's feelings. Hi, I'm Barb Nangle. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Fragmented to Whole, Life Lessons from 12-Step Recovery, where I help people heal their emotional, psychological, and spiritual wounds and make deep, lasting changes in their lives. I'm the founder and CEO of Higher Power Coaching and Consulting. I'm a boundaries coach who specializes in helping women who are focused on what others are thinking and doing and neglect themselves in the process. And I have coached hundreds of people on how to build healthy boundaries using my exclusive Build framework. On this podcast, I share my experience, strength, and hope from recovery. I don't support or endorse any particular 12-step recovery fellowship, and I don't claim to speak for any particular 12-step fellowship. I also don't believe that 12-step recovery is the only way to recover. You might need additional help. I'm an avid beachcomber who collects sea glass, shells, wood, and stones. I am a formerly closeted fan of the Hallmark Channel, especially the Christmas movies. Hello, Christmas in July. I wear fingerless gloves from September to June because my hands are always cold, so I have about 15 pairs. And I get a huge kick out of counting how many days, weeks, and months there are until my birthday or Christmas at completely random times of the year. My hope is that you'll find my words concretely helpful in improving your life, whether you're in recovery or not. If you like what you've heard on this episode, please screenshot it and share it on your social media and tag me at Higher Power Coaching. This is episode 226, what the crosstalk rule is and why it helps us build and respect boundaries. The other night, I was in a recovery meeting, and toward the end of the meeting, I was reading the last reading of the night. And while I was in the middle of it, two people that were talking, and I got very distracted, and I stopped and said, "Excuse me, that's crosstalk." And they stopped, and then I commenced to read. And it was quite notable that I did not get all activated, I didn't get a flood of shame, and I didn't feel guilty for doing it, which just goes to show how far I've come since I started in recovery, because that was a boundary, and I felt very calm about enforcing it. Years ago, when I was the timekeeper one night in a recovery meeting, somebody continued to talk for several minutes after the timer went off, and I just didn't know how to handle it. I was like a nervous fucking wreck. Even though it was a boundary the group had decided on and the timer went off to let the person know you've reached the edge of the boundary, I just didn't feel capable of enforcing it further by saying something. After the meeting, I said to the group, "I can't be the timer anymore. It's too triggering. I just feel so uncomfortable about interrupting the person," even though it was a boundary set by the group. So the meeting the other day was further evidence of how far I've come in terms of being able to enforce boundaries. Well, the crosstalk rule is all about boundaries. So that's what I want to talk about today. When I first got into recovery, I heard all kinds of things about crosstalk. For example, we don't comfort people or give them tissues when they're crying during a meeting, which seemed fucking cruel to me. We don't give advice, which seemed really weird to me because I was so used to helping others, even when they didn't ask for it, or when I had no particular expertise on the matter, like relationships, for example. I have since learned that we don't comfort people because we allow them to feel and express and process their own feelings, and it's not my job to manage other people's feelings. I also learned that one of the reasons I wanted to manage other people's feelings is that I don't want to feel my feelings. And watching them feel theirs might bring up mine. So if I'm busy managing their feelings and focusing on them, then I can't possibly feel my feelings. I also learned that this is called fixing behavior. Many adult children have been fixing other people's feelings our entire lives, so we don't have to deal with our own feelings. This issue of crosstalk, and specifically not crosstalking in meetings, is so important in the ACA program that we have an entire 11-page booklet about it. I'll put a link in the show notes to that booklet. You have to purchase it from the ACA World Service Office. It's only $2 if you're interested. Now, I read it several times in my first few years of recovery because I needed to, because a lot of the stuff that the crosstalk rule is about is the stuff that I used to do. That is, I had no fucking boundaries, which meant I not only didn't have protective boundaries, I also didn't have containment boundaries. So I was in other people's shit all the time. I recorded another episode where I talked about all the ways in which I learned boundaries in 12-step recovery, and crosstalk was a very important one of those ways. I'll put a link to that in the show notes too. Another thing I learned from the no crosstalk rule was that making comments or giving advice to other people about their shares is a no-no because I'm supposed to be minding my own business and working my own recovery program. I learned to ask people if they want any comments. In one of my meetings for quite some time, we had some language in our no crosstalk statement that was read at the beginning of the meeting that said, if you want to comment on what someone else has shared, please ask their permission after the meeting. We don't necessarily want to hear what other people have to say about our shares. And some people don't have the wherewithal to say, I don't want your feedback. So we created that statement so that the onus for holding the boundary was on the person that wanted to give a comment as opposed to the person that didn't want to hear the comment. All right, now I'm going to read some excerpts from the ACA Crosstalk booklet, and I'll make some comments about those. So it says, the term crosstalk means interrupting, referring to, or commenting on, or using the contents of what another person has said during the meeting. Crosstalk also refers to any type of dialogue or noise that occurs as the meeting is in progress, as well as members talking to one another or discussing what someone else has shared. For example, referring to means, I really like what Elizabeth shared. I can tell her parents were a lot like mine. Elizabeth is really profound in her shares and knowledge of ACA. So that was a really obvious example of crosstalk because there was a reference to the person, a comment on what they said, and some of what they said was repeated. What's really cool about this booklet is that it goes into detail about what does it mean to interrupt? What does referring to mean? What is commenting on? What does fixing others mean? So here's more about the crosstalk rule in general. Many ACA members come from family backgrounds where feelings and perceptions were judged as wrong or defective. In ACA, each person may share his or her feelings and perceptions without fear of judgment or interruption. In ACA, we create a safe place to open up and share. As part of creating that safety, crosstalk is not permitted. We weren't allowed to feel our feelings. We weren't allowed to express our feelings. We were sometimes told that's stupid. Why do you feel that way? You shouldn't feel that way, etc. And we don't want any of that shit to be recreated in an ACA meeting. It goes on to say, we respect these boundaries for two reasons. First, when we were growing up, no one listened to us. They told us that our feelings were wrong. Second, as adults, we are accustomed to taking care of other people and not taking responsibility for our own lives. In ACA, we speak about our own experiences and feelings. We accept without comment what others say because it's true for them. We also work toward taking more responsibility in our lives rather than giving advice to others. And then it goes into these various types of crosstalk. It talks about interrupting. It says, each member of ACA should be able to share free from interruption. When someone is sharing, all others should refrain from speaking, including side conversations with a neighbor. Gestures such as nodding heads, noise, or excessive movement are also considered interruptions. Interrupting is something I did all the time before I got into recovery. I'm much, much better at not interrupting people than I ever was before. And much of that comes from what I learned in recovery because of the no crosstalk rule. Before recovery, I often had a sense of trying to script my response to the person, and I just had to get it out of me, which meant I wasn't really listening to what they were saying because I was working on coming up with my response. Now, I learned years before recovery about how to be a more effective communicator and to stop doing that. So I had quite a bit of improvement before recovery, but there was still further to go. I've stopped the part where I'm scripting what I want to say rather than listening, but I do sometimes feel like I'm ready to just jump in there when it's my turn. And I have find myself saying with a fair amount of regularity to people, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were done. This is especially true on the phone when I don't have social cues from them or visual cues. And it's true, I do jump in when I think people are done, but I think that wouldn't keep happening to me if I wasn't on the ready to jump in. Okay, moving on. It goes into referring to and what that means. In ACA, we keep the focus on our lives and our feelings. We do not make reference to the shares of others except as a transition to our own sharing. A very general, what's been brought up for me is, or the occasional thanks for sharing is fine, but please do not make more detailed references to another person's share. Referencing a person by name or identifying with a specific share. That was covered clearly in the Elizabeth share above. Now, here's what it says about commenting on. In ACA, we accept that what each person shares is true for them. We go to great lengths to avoid creating the climate of shame that enforced the three primary rules of a dysfunctional family. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. In ACA, we simply do not make comments, either positive or negative, about another person's share before, during, or after a meeting. In like manner, we never speak about the contents of another person's share. And it also says unsolicited advice can be a form of commentary and should be avoided. That is what I was talking about where in my meeting, we came up with the part of our crosstalk statement that said, if you want to comment on someone else's share, please ask them after the meeting if it's okay to do so. Now, when it comes to referring to another person's share after a meeting, I think that it's reasonable under certain circumstances, as long as you keep the person and the meeting anonymous, that you can do that. If you talk to someone and say, I heard somebody say XYZ in a meeting recently and it brought up ABC to me, that seems reasonable to me. As long as you make it very anonymous. It's even better if you share the gist of what they said rather than to quote them directly, or perhaps just share what came up for you as a result of what someone said, because we learn so much from other people sharing in meetings. We get to see ourselves in each other's experiences, or we get to learn what we might do to change our behavior. But we want to be very careful about not bringing what we learned back to that specific person. The next section of the booklet talks about fixing others. In ACA, we do not touch, hug, or attempt to comfort others when they become emotional during an ACA meeting. If someone begins to cry during a meeting, we allow them to feel their feelings. We support them by refraining from touching them or interrupting their tears with something we might do or say. To touch, hug the other person, or offer tissues is known as fixing. As children, we tried to fix our parents or to control them with our behavior. In ACA, we are learning to take care of ourselves and not attempt to fix others. We support them by accepting them into our meetings and listening to them while they face their pain. We learn to listen, which is often the greatest support of all. We also do not fix by action. We don't offer tissues when a person is crying. We do not interrupt their process. There's a little bit more that I want to share. It says simple guidance to share is speaking from the I position. I feel, I believe, my experience. To help create a healthy space for members to practice the ACA program. we find it best to gently, respectfully, and firmly ask members to keep the shares on themselves and the effects of coming from an alcoholic or dysfunctional family. These effects may be the impulse to offer advice, to take care of others, or to assume the same protective family roles they took on as children in the meetings. The effects that shielded us as children can be lowered in the safe space we are creating in our meetings so that we can release our inner loving parent and recover our inner child. There's quite a bit more about how to handle crosstalk, especially regarding crosstalk from newcomers. I'm not going to quote it, but I will say that we want to remember that newcomers don't know about the no crosstalk rule. They've likely had these same patterns that we always had. So rather than being really firm and interrupting a newcomer in the meeting, it's better to go up to them after the meeting and say, just so you know, when you said blah, 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 that was actually crosstalk and we refrain from doing that in this meeting, and then you tell them why. And then maybe you even give them a crosstalk booklet. But you don't want to shame them because they're never going to come back if you do. It took me quite some time to understand what the fuck this crosstalk thing was and why it was so healing and helpful and made for a safe space, and that it wasn't mean, rude, or uncaring, which is what I thought in the very beginning. What it's essentially about is rules to teach people how to keep the focus on themselves, which is a way of staying within your own lane or within your own boundary, to stop crossover into other people's lanes, stop stepping all over other people's boundaries. So if you have difficulty with violating other people's boundaries, this list should give you some hints on ways to stop doing that. If you're ready to finally have an enjoyable, relaxing summer doing things you really want to do, instead of always following other people's agendas, I have some openings for private clients right now. If you are really tired of saying yes to things you really don't want to do and being overly accommodating to others, this is for you. It's time to start accommodating yourself. Maybe you're dissatisfied with your relationships and overwhelmed with all kinds of difficult feelings because of your interactions with others. If you'd like to get your life in order before the summer hits, go to barbchat.net and sign up for a free 30-minute call with me about my private coaching so we can get started right away. That way, you'll be done by summer. This is for people who are finally ready to make deep, lasting changes in their relationship patterns, including their relationships with themselves, their partners, family, friends, and colleagues. Go to barbchat.net. If you like this podcast, and I'm guessing you did, or you wouldn't still be listening, then you're gonna love the other things I have to offer. If you'd love pre-released podcast scripts and episodes before anyone else gets them, or if you'd love access to content from my private vault that I developed exclusively for my private clients, which is like having a work session with me without me actually being there, go to patreon.com/higherpowercoaching. There are three tiers ranging from as low as $4 up to $24 a month. You'll also love my weekly newsletter, Friday Fragments, which has content very similar to the podcast. You can check it out at fridayfragments.news. That's fridayfragments.news. Please like and subscribe to my podcast on your favorite podcast outlet. I'd also love it if you'd leave a review, which you can do either in the show notes or on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find my podcast so they can get the benefits you've gotten from listening. If someone came to mind when you listened to this particular episode, please share it with them. And my favorite place to hang out on social media is Instagram. I'm at Higher Power Coaching. Please DM me there. I'd love to hear what you got from this episode. I run group and private coaching programs on building healthy boundaries. Whether you need help with boundaries in your personal, professional, or romantic life, I can help. Head on over to barbchat.net, where you can hop onto my calendar for a free 30-minute Better Boundaries consultation. My ideal client is someone who is ripe for change. If that's you, I would love to work with you. My goal with all my work is to help you make lasting changes in your life like I've made deep, lasting changes in my life. Remember, it's never too late to recover. No one is beyond hope, and healing is possible. Thanks for listening.